The Waiting Begins in Mexico.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. For the past 2 years, Mexico has been embroiled in a contentious presidential election. It all came down to Sunday when a winner would finally be announced. It turns out the race is a dead heat and the winner won't be announced for days. Our America's Desk correspondent Dan Gretsch reports from Mexico City.
At 11 p.m. last night, Mexico's top electoral official, Luis Carlos Ugalde, appeared on national TV. He was expected to announce who had won Mexico's presidential election.
El margen de diferencia entre el primero y el segundo lugar es muy estrecho y por lo tanto...
Instead, Ugalde said the election was too close to call. Leftist Andrés Manuel López Obrador and conservative Felipe Calderón are neck and neck. A divided nation will have to wait until at least Wednesday to know its next president. Alfonso Galindo is a political consultant in Mexico City.
So basically we have two extremes. Mr. López Obrador is definitely more on the side of government intervention in the economy. And on the other side, I think that Mr. Calderón is more on the side of free market.
On a day of uncertainty, one thing was clear. Whoever's the next president will face a divided Congress. That'll make it difficult for either candidate to implement his proposed reforms. In Mexico City, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Walmart is so big that when it gets the sniffles, other retailers need to be prepared for the flu. And over the weekend, Walmart announced that its key sales numbers for June were at the low end of expectations. Walmart stores open for at least a year reported a 1.2% sales growth for the month. The company had predicted as much as a 3% jump. Well, the year is half over, so we asked Rachel Dornhelm to check in with some economists. We wanted to find out what they think about the state of the economy so far and where it's going over the next 6 months.
Despite the fact inflation picked up a bit, U.S. global investors John Derrick says he'd give the first half of 2006 an A for strong GDP numbers. However,
looking forward in the second half of the year, we're a little bit more cautious on the economy. We actually think the economy will slow down.
For one, he cites a faster than expected slide in the housing market. Meanwhile, Wachovia senior economist Mark Vittner gave the first half of the year a B, but he's somewhat optimistic about the second. He says real estate is just one side of the equation.
On the other side, business fixed investment, which really hasn't been all that strong in the last several years, has begun to pick up in a major way, and businesses are looking at expanding again.
Vittner says while the GDP will be lower in the second half, that should allow inflation to come back down a bit. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
There's no state budget in place in New Jersey, despite a four-hour meeting Sunday between Governor John Corzine and top state lawmakers. State offices have been shut down, and the dispute could even close Atlantic City casinos to gamblers if the stalemate isn't ended by Wednesday. The market closes an hour earlier today. Maybe it should have stayed open an hour later on Friday. All indicators pointed south. The Dow was down 40 points at 11,150. The Nasdaq was about flat, down 2 points at 2172, and the S&P down 2 points to 1270. This is Marketplace. If you were traveling this weekend, you probably noticed that taking a vacation is a bit more expensive this summer. For one thing, hotels are busier and pricier this season. Alex Cohen has more.
The first few years after September 11th were bleak for the hotel industry. Occupancy rates dropped significantly. But Americans are traveling again. Randy Smith is CEO of Smith Travel Research. He says occupancy rates nationwide are close to 65% this summer, a number not seen in more than 5 years. Not surprisingly, he says, many hotels are charging guests more.
Some of the big urban markets, New York City, Chicago, could be looking at room rates as much as 8, 10, 12% above what they were last year.
If you're looking for a less expensive place to play this summer, he recommends Central Florida, where markets haven't rebounded quite as much. I'm Alex Cohen from Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, announcing the Triumphant Souls Award and the Global Heroes Program, Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon programs for runners with chronic disease. More at MedtronicTwinCitiesMarathon.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. There are so many ways for businesses to get their messages out to potential customers. One, sometimes the message is shaped by the medium itself. For instance, viral videos. Brian Cooley is an executive editor for CNET.com. I asked him to give us a little example.
Well, Mark, a viral video by definition is one that users pick up on and start telling each other about. In short order, huge numbers of people are therefore sharing it or sending people to go see it. That's the viral part. It spreads like a virus, hence the name. The videos themselves could be anything. It could be amateurly produced content about a company or its business, or it could be the company's own intentionally produced content that really got people's attention.
This sounds like one of those instances in which slick messages aren't going to translate as effectively into this type of video. Is that right?
Exactly. This is not, you're not going to see people get excited and virally talk about something that they've seen as part of a commercial block on television. That's not interesting. That's just the same thing we've all grown up with forever. Often it's something that is quirky, that is unique. Here's an example of one that didn't work as intended, but worked really well. General Motors allowed people to go to a special website, and using some video clips and some music that was on the site, you could build your own spot for one of their SUVs. And they thought folks were going to make these praise spots, how great the vehicle is. You could take some footage and music and put your own titles across it in text and all this. Well, instead, a bunch of environmentalists got on there and slammed the vehicle and made a whole bunch of really clever, funny, well-produced spots using GM's own resources that made this thing look like it was the end of the earth and really savaged it for how it contributes to global warming. Now, that virally spread because it was a corporately sponsored message that went left, and it wasn't what people expected, and yet people took delight in the fact that it was either A, funny, or B, got a message across. One thing going on right now that is really popular are videos of people putting Mentos into Diet Coke. There's one team out there in particular, a couple of guys who run a website, who've been doing all kinds of videos showing this explosive thing that happens. It's almost like putting, if you've ever put baking soda into vinegar, a thing we used to do as kids, and it just completely froths over. The Mentos in Diet Coke do the same thing. And people are putting small holes in the Coke bottle so it sprays out in interesting arcs all over the place, and it's quite the toy. And the videos they've done of this are truly hilarious, and they're doing a really good job of shooting them and kind of, you know, directing them and all this. And it's like watching the waterworks in front of the Bellagio in Las Vegas, the way they've got it down. So here's an idea of two corporate products, Mentos and Diet Coke, that are being used in a different way. And one of those companies reportedly likes the exposure, Mentos. One of them seems very cool to it, Diet Coke. So different senses of corporate senses of humor will respond to a viral action on their behalf differently.
Brian Cooley is an executive editor for CNET.com. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
American Public Media.
A small town in Pennsylvania declares its...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.